Endow us with your gifts of courage, collaboration, and compassion, so that we can continue to fulfill the mission of Christ and his church. Through vibrant parishes, dynamic schools, religious education programs, and effective ministries. Raise up selfless, energetic leaders, lay, religious, deacons, and priests to serve the church in fidelity and with care, that all be sustained and strengthened by your grace. Help us to learn Jesus, love Jesus, and live Jesus. Hear this prayer and grant it through Jesus Christ, our Lord, with the help of his Blessed Mother and our Mother, who protects us under the mantle of her love. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, replace the tension within us with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within us with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within us with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within us with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within us with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within us with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within us with a loving warmth. Replace the night within us with your day. Replace the winter within us with your spring. Straighten our crookedness. Fill our emptiness. Dull the edge of our pride. Sharpen the edge of our humility. Light the fires of our love. Quench the flames of our lust, that we may see you as you have promised, and be fortunate according to your words someday to hear, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." O God of peace, we turn aside from an unquiet world, seeking rest for our spirits and light for our thoughts. We bring our work to be sanctified, our wounds to be healed, our sins to be forgiven, our hopes to be renewed, our better selves to be quickened. O thou in whom there is harmony, draw us to thyself and silence the discords of our wasteful lives. Thou who art one in all, and in whom all are one, take us out of the loneliness of self and fill us with the fullness of your truth and love. Thou whose greatness is beyond our highest praise, lift us above our common littleness and our daily imperfections. Send us visions of the love that is in thee and of the good that may be in us. Amen. Amen. Did anybody ever ask you to prove to them that there is a God? Maybe what they were asking is something like this: show me by your conduct that your belief in God makes a difference in your life. You know, we can prove there is a God from the intellect alone, from our reason. We study this in a course of philosophy called theodicy. It prescinds entirely from revelation, the scriptures, the church, the Holy Father. And St. Thomas Aquinas posits five proofs for the existence of God from reason alone. I think you could take all of them and boil them down into one. See if you agree with this. Can you think of anything more important in this world than the relationship of cause to effect? Can you think of a single thing in this world that does not have a cause? I cannot. Everything has a cause. And when you start working those causes back to the first cause, the uncaused cause, the prime mover, that's the name we give to God. Now, there are people who believe in a God who has not revealed himself. We call them deist, D-E-I-S-T-S. Yes, they believe in God, but he never communicated himself to us. We are not theists, or not deists. We are theists, T-H-E-I-S-T-S. We believe in the God who has revealed himself. Especially for us and the Judeo-Christian legacy, we believe that Abraham is our father in faith, and his son Isaac, and then Jacob, and then all the prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures. That's why we believe in the Old Testament. And that's why it's important to us. So we don't go back just to the time of Christ, 2,000 years. We go back 4,000 years to when God revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, we do believe. But the greatest revelation for all of us came in the very person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who took on our human condition and keeps that human condition for all eternity. Because we believe that when he rose from the dead, he took the body back that he had been crucified with, an extended body that had quantity, that could eat fish and leave bones as he did after the resurrection. A body that Thomas would take his hand and put it into the side of the risen Lord, and Thomas would take his finger and put it into the hands of the risen Lord. That's what we mean by resurrection from the dead. It wasn't just an hallucination or wishful thinking on the part of the apostles. No. He took back the body that had been crucified with. And with that body, he ascended to heaven. And it worked all kinds of miracles, curing people, getting rid of leprosy for certain individuals, even raising some of them from the dead, like Lazarus. Remember that Lazarus would die a second time to await the common resurrection of us all on the last day. But once Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there's no more dying for him. He's the only one in the history of the world that we know rose from the dead and never died again. Yes, Lazarus would die a second time. Jesus is the greatest of them all. And the proof that he rose from the dead is the great miracle of Jesus Christ, the most significant thing that he ever did. And he promised to raise us up too on the last day. What a promise that is. And we believe he established a church that would disseminate his truth throughout the world. And he gave Peter the charge of it. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. To you I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we have the scriptures here. And we honor the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New, especially the Gospels. But they're not little voices popping up from the pages of sacred scripture to say, we are the inspired word of God. No, it was external, extrinsic authority that said these books are to be canonized as we canonize saints. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit would really enlighten these writers, that they would write all that God wants them to write, but only what God wants them to write. That's why we take the scriptures seriously. I'd ask the ladies here to consider reading the Gospel of St. Luke as you get ready for Advent coming up pretty soon. It's a gospel of women, by women, for women. And the fellows who are here, the Gospel of St. Mark. That really tells the story. And of course, the Gospel of St. John is very precious too, if you want to know something about the love of our God. How blessed we are in these scriptures. As I get closer to eternal life, I really appreciate even maybe some of those psalms that curse other people and wish they'd break a leg and die and go to hell and get out of your life. There are a lot of them like that, the cursing psalm. But these people that they're cursing, don't take that so literally. It's all the immoral dimensions of the way men act in our present condition and have acted historically. And he gave us seven precious sacraments to guide us. Praise and thank God for your faith. Can you think of an alternative explanation for your existence in this world outside the concept of faith? I cannot. Without faith, there's nothing. And if there is no God, then you're God and I'm God, and we're a bunch of damned atheists. What a wonderful gift that, and we received this gift of faith, remember, at our baptism. And our God has no grandchildren. In other words, each person in this world must choose to believe on his or her faith. Maybe based in, to a certain extent too, on the way the parents have schooled them and gave them a powerful example. Yes, that's important. But each person must choose for himself. Beginning with the age of reason, 5, 6, 7 years of age. Not that he's completely on his own. No, he needs the example of the church and the parents and other very important people in his life. But he chooses for himself. Jesus made it very clear. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He used that word, unless. And when I hear that word, unless, I think he's threatening us. And the threat is not beneath the God-man Jesus Christ. He will threaten us. Even with the absence of the possession of him for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. But he sustains us so beautifully through two special sacraments, reconciliation, confession, and Holy Communion. On the phone yesterday from another state, I had a very sad telephone call from a sister who had been a nun. She's now in her senior years. She had left the community that she belonged to. And she had been a missionary too, even in Papua New Guinea. But now she has very little access to the nursing home that she's enrolled in. She can't receive the body of Jesus Christ every day as she did in the convent. What a gift that is. Literally, to eat our God. Not in the cannibalistic form of a former Papua New Guinea where they ate human flesh, and they did, but only the flesh of the enemy after a battle. You and I eat the flesh and drink the blood of the one who called himself our friend. A friend is somebody that you reveal your deepest secrets to without fear of ridicule, put down, or betrayal. And it's during the battle, while we're all part of this church militant, fighting, striving to win our place in the embrace of our God for all eternity. I would ask everybody here, if you haven't done it already, to memorize the Apostles' Creed. That's what we believe in. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. If you ever want to know why God made you, just look to the catechism. Maybe the old Baltimore catechism too. God made us to know him, to love him, to serve in this world, so that we might be reasonably happy in this world and everlastingly happy in the world to come. People who do not believe would not subscribe to why we're in the world. We know. Not that we flaunt our gifts to anybody. I know we stay nice and humble and thank God for that gift of faith. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And that when you receive the last sacraments, your confession is heard. You receive Holy Viaticum, that food for your trip into eternity, and you're anointed with the oils on your forehead and the palms of your hand. And they say the prayers for the dying over you and me, hopefully. When it comes to that last prayer, go out, Christian soul, in the name of God the Father who created you, in the name of God the Son who redeemed you, in the name of God the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you. Go out, Christian soul. Wouldn't it be great if we were really prepared for those last moments of our life by responding beautifully with great devotion to be reconciled with God in the sacrament of penance and by receiving him worthily every chance that we get the rest of our lives. We say God the Father created us, God the Son redeemed us, God the Holy Spirit sanctified us, but it's really all three persons of the Holy Trinity who created us, who redeemed us, who sanctifies us. And never, ever neglect the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. He comes with wonderful gifts. Do you remember from the book of Isaiah? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge. In one word, light. And we need his light. That's the living waters, that light. And in piety, fear of the Lord, and fortitude for the gifts to our soul. And that is the strength of God for each one of us. So we need light, we need power. It's like a car at nighttime. If it doesn't have lights, it goes off into the ditch. But without power, it never lets the engine be turned over. And if you ever want to know how much of the Holy Spirit you have in your life, and I want to know in my life, I ask you to consider one little line from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. Listen to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I think this could constitute a wonderful examination of conscience, too. Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, chastity according to our state in life. That'll tell us how much of God we have within ourselves. In this pansexual culture that we are living in right now. What a gift there. Yes, you might use those fruits of the Holy Spirit to determine how much of God is within you. Maybe even for confession too. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Sanctify my soul. Enlighten my intellect with divine wisdom. Conform my will to your will. Give me a ready memory and a keen comprehension of truth. Body of Christ, save me. Yours was a perfect human body. Through this Holy Communion, let me participate in your vigorous health. Grant me a well-balanced outlook on life, an understanding acceptance of misfortune, and ready recognition of the blessings you bestow on me. I beg freedom from pain, worry, anxiety, a vigorous heart, strength of muscle, good digestion, restful sleep, so I may be able to do the work you expect of me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Send enriching blood coursing unhindered through my body and cleansing it of all impurities, so it will be the stream of life and health. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Wash my soul of sin. Cleanse my body of disease, arthritis, and all malfunctions. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Against the devil, temptations, undue love of material things, and pollution of mind or breath or poisons. I add my wounds in life to the wounds of Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sin and for the salvation of mankind. O good Jesus, hear me. Give me a vivid awareness of your presence and love, of your protection and guidance, and a growing devotion in my present life. Within thy wounds, hide me. By the example of your sufferings, console and strengthen me in my sufferings, as I unite my sacrifices with yours on the cross, for my sins and the sins of others, and bid me come to thee. Keep clearly before me my final goal, my true purpose, my glorious destiny, so I may successfully fulfill the mission for which you created me, made me as I am, and placed me here and now, that with thy saints I may praise thee. I place myself under the protective care of my patron saints, my saintly deceased family members, and my guardian angel, so that someday I shall meet them all in heaven with thee. For all eternity, take me home when my journey here below is done, so I may receive the merits of a good life, of prayers, holy masses, holy communions, fulfilled obligations. Then I will see thee face to face and live with thee in the bliss of happiness and peace with thee forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm really glad to be with you. Really, truly. Because last March 17, this past March, I had a big operation. They took out a kidney. I still have one left, though. And a big hunk of cancer the size of a cantaloupe, like a volleyball, it came out encapsulated. So they could remove that lump of cancer and the kidney with 2 days operation. It's really good to be alive. Maybe the Lord wants me to make reparation. I don't know. We call it redemptive suffering. I had some really good doctors from Shadyside Hospital in Pittsburgh, too. It's a joy to be with you. Our family of 12, There are four of us left. Eight have already gone into eternal life. And I'm the oldest of the survivors. I guess I'm next to go. You heard about the Hurricane Matthew. Matthew was my baptismal name. I came after two sets of twins. Actually, there were three altogether. There was Paul and Pauline, Joe and Josephine, and Mom ended up with Bernard and Bernadette. Coming after two sets, I was truly a gift. And that's what Matthew means, gift of God. I cut the diaper load right in half. That is special. And it wasn't any of these Pampers things either. It was the cloth ones. That really brings us down to earth. Yes, pray for us sinners. Yes, it is good to be alive. It truly is. And now we're going to have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And if the deacon is here, I'd like to ask him to assist us too for that.